So, Father, we just want to bless Alan today in the name of Jesus. We just want to speak well and speak value over you, Alan, today. We appreciate you and the man you are in Christ and all that God has placed in your heart. And as a witness to the glorious truth that Jesus is risen, may he fill your mouth today with wisdom, with authority, and with the anointing of his Spirit. In his mighty name, amen.
News, and that is to say that we've kind of come to a change of season in terms of our leadership team, and in particular, you'll have been aware of the fact, some of you have been aware, if you read your notices, there's a bit at the bottom that sort of says, Gary Niven on sabbatical, and Gary's actually been on sabbatical for the best part of a year and a half, I think so, you know, and he has finally decided that actually the sabbatical is permanent. As far as he's concerned, he's decided that he's going to step down, and he senses, again, just a new season. But we have two other members of our team who have decided recently that they're also kind of moving into a new season and that they want to kind of step away from the leadership responsibilities as well. And so Shona and Ali Robertson, Shona Sterling and Ali Robertson have decided that they're going to step out of leadership responsibility at this time. We really, really, really appreciate the things that these folks have done as they've led us and as they've encouraged us, as they've strengthened us in the years that have gone past. I did try and do a bit of a calculation as to how many years service that they've done between us. It was more than 25. I think it was more than 30. I think it might have been more than 30. I couldn't quite work it out. But between them, actually, they've been really incredibly faithful. They've served us so well, and we want to thank them as they step into the new things that God has for them. And we want to pray for them as they do that. So let's do that in a minute or second, just in 1 second. But the other thing that is part of that now is that, we obviously are now thinking again and praying again about new leadership team, elders, folks that could come and could serve. And maybe that's you. Maybe that's you. And maybe God is calling you to serve. Or it might be that actually there's somebody sitting beside you that you think, actually, they would make a great leader in the church. They would make a great elder. They'd be absolutely incredible. And we're looking for you to actually kind of come and to share your thoughts with us over the next kind of few weeks. We're going to be praying about this, and we'd encourage you to pray about this as a church. As a leadership team, we're going to gather, we're going to be praying about this, and we're going to be inviting people to kind of come and think about leadership within the church as we roll forward into this new season. So let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for people who serve us, people who are willing to lay down their lives and say, like, I'm willing to help, I'm willing to serve, I'm willing to do whatever you call us to. We thank you for Gary, for Shona, and for Ali, as they today decide that the time has come to step away from this way of serving you and look for the new ways of serving you that you're calling them to. Thank you, Father, for their service to us. Thank you that they have blessed us. Thank you that they have lavished their love upon us. Thank you that they have encouraged us and strengthened us. Thank you that some of us are here because of them, because actually in the time when we needed a friend, they reached out and lifted us up and prayed for us and encouraged us and strengthened us. And thank you, Lord, for just for all that is ahead for them. And we pray for them, Lord, as they move into this next season, that, Lord, that they would find great joy as they discover what it is that you're calling them to, what it is that you're leading them into in terms of their role and their service. And so, Lord God, we bless them and we thank you for them. And as we thank you for them, we also recognize, Lord, that you are opening a new season for us as a church, and that others will come and will serve. And so, Lord God, we pray that you would lay on the hearts of those that you're calling to lead that willingness to serve. Lord God, none of us push ourselves forward, but actually I ask that today that there would be something in our hearts that would say, I am willing. I am willing. And so, Lord God, I pray that you would highlight to us just exactly who it is that would be who would be the next wave of folks that would come to lead and to serve and to bless us into this next season for us as a church. And so, Lord God, we ask that you would do this now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, I have to say that as I was listening to Stephen preparing for communion, I kind of felt he was getting into preaching mode. Did anyone else notice that? I think at the point where he kind of like, and people clap and he goes, it's the repeating thing. It's the repeating thing. Anyway, I was slightly concerned that he was about to preach the same sermon I'm about to preach. But if it is, then that's absolutely fine. It's not a problem at all. Today, I want to talk about living on the resurrection side of the cross. I want to talk about what it means for us no longer to live on the Good Friday side, on the place where we come with our brokenness and with our sin and with our history and with our sickness and with our stuff, and actually stay there. Because we kind of think, oh, I've got to lie here, kneel here, broken at the foot of the cross. Oh, thank you. Oh, I've got a message. This is exciting. And so that's really, really important for us to recognize that actually that's what God is calling us to do. So we're living on the resurrection side of the cross. I want to start by telling you a story. The story is about this guy here. He's called William McAfee. I got his photograph off Facebook. I didn't actually take the photograph of him. Does anyone recognize him? I recognize him. I've seen him a few. I've seen him because I'm about to tell you a story about how I met with him. So William McAfee comes from Elgin in Murray, and I met him not this Saturday. Where are we now? The 13th, what is that? That's 2 weeks. That's yesterday, a week past Saturday, right. A week past Saturday. I met him a week past Saturday in Lossiemouth at the filling station, okay? And the guy came up to me and he came up at the beginning of the meeting, before the meeting started, and he sort of said, hello, you might not remember me. My name is William McAfee. You met me here a year past in February, and you prayed for me. And I just want to come to see what God has done for me. So the story, and he then told me the story. So the story was this. William came to the filling stations in February of 2018, having been told by his doctor that he had less than 4 weeks to live. William had a cancer in his liver, and they were looking for a transplant, but they couldn't get anyone to give a transplant. And he was there, and he looked. When I saw him in February, I actually remember thinking, man, you look bad. He was sweating and he was gray and he was kind of like a funny, he was a strange color, you know. And so, as you would expect with liver. So he came and he said, we prayed that night. I went home. The next week, they offered me a transplant. We had the transplant. They took my old liver out. It had 3 massive tumors in it. The new one was put in. The transplant worked. And here's the important thing, liver cancer spreads. And so the issue about livers is that sometimes if you have tumors in them, the real concern is that they've already spread to other places. He said, there is no cancer in my body. He's had no cancer in my body. And I mean, at this point, I'm kind of like, I'm going, yes, yeah, beauty, yes, God is good. And but he that wasn't actually all that he wanted to say. What he actually came up to say was this. He sort of said, I am here because I want to ask you a question. I want to know what I'm here to do. God has rescued me for a reason. I don't know what age he is. He's sort of in his 50s, I think. Yeah, God has rescued me for a reason. I am here, and I want to know what is God's plan for my life. What is the destiny that I have to fulfill? Because he sort of said, because before, to be honest with you, I was around church, but I wasn't really, you know, Christianity wasn't a big thing for me. But now... Now this is all I want to do. This is all my life is about. Okay? And that is where I want to kind of jump off from in terms of talking about living on the other side, the resurrection side of the cross. First thing I want to say is this. Shame on Jesus. That's the first thing. That seems like a strange thing to say, doesn't it? Those of you who are brought up Catholic, this is particularly for you. All right? There's a few of you who are brought up Catholic. I did a bit of art a few years ago, right? And it's not very good, okay? So I don't want you to laugh at me. But anyway, but this is my bit of art. And it says, it's basically a whole lot of photographs of people that I knew. It was a number of years ago. And it says at the bottom, shame on Jesus, and then there's a picture of Jesus over here. And basically it's all about the shame that transfers across and lands on Jesus. My experience is this. I have seen lots and lots and lots of people living on the Good Friday side of this Easter story, where actually they continue to live in the guilt and the shame and the condemnation, because actually they haven't learned that the deal is you let go. You let go of all of the guilt and shame and condemnation, because it goes on to Jesus. All of the shame, all of the guilt, all of the condemnation, everything you've ever done, everything you've ever regretted, everything goes on to Jesus at the cross. That's the deal. That's actually what's supposed to happen. That is supposed to happen. Not only is it supposed to happen, that is what happened. I'm telling you, that is what happened, because it says here in Romans, there is now no condemnation, no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of the sin and death. Here's the deal. If you want to live on the resurrection side of the cross, shame and guilt and condemnation have to be left here. They have to be abandoned here. They do not get to come to the other side. They didn't make it through the death and down into hell and the resurrection again. They didn't make it through that. Why? He left it in the grave. He paid for it on the cross, and then he left it in the grave. There's nothing left. There's no condemnation now for those that are in Christ Jesus. There is no shame. There is no guilt. It was all piled on Jesus on the cross. That's the whole point, that we don't have to live with this crap anymore, that actually we can live on the resurrection side, that we're free, that we're free, that we don't have to be there anymore. That was one of the things that we talked about with William. Here's the next thing. Your past is not your future. We say this so many times. It's like, oh, we should get it tattooed on people. Right. Your past is not your future. Listen, we all have a past. We all have stuff that's happened. We all have stuff that actually we regret. And we still have to make amends. It's not that we lose the consequences. It's that we lose the guilt and the shame and the fear. It's that the consequences we still have to work our way through. We still have to make atonement. We still have, we need to put things right. Okay, we understand that. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is actually being identified by and allowing your history, your past, your kind of the patterns of how you have behaved, the words that have been spoken over you. How many times have we heard the story about teachers who say to you, when you're 5 years old, you're stupid and you'll never come to anything, and that just lodges in our head, and that's all we've ever believed. And it's these things, it's these mental tapes of the past, it's these awful, terrible things that have happened to us in the past that are there, and we're not denying them, we're not living in denial, but we are saying that the cross deals with them. That we don't have to continue to live in that way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation, that's the deal. You know, the old has gone and the new has come. You know? the past does not define us anymore. But I'm telling you, it does if we let it. I'm saying to you, do you hear what I'm saying? I'm saying to you, you have to choose. You have to choose to leave these things behind. You have to choose to say, that is the past. That bit there of my life, that bit of my history is actually on the other side of Easter. It happened, and it's in Golgotha, and it's part of that horrible thing that happened on that Friday, and it went down into the pits of hell with Jesus. But see, when he rose again from the dead, he left it all behind. My past is not my future. I don't have to live according to what has happened in the past. I don't have to keep repeating the same patterns again and again and again. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. The whole point is that actually we're free. Here's the next thing. Next thing is, all sickness and disease has been paid for. So all sickness and disease has been paid for. Isaiah 53 says this, surely he took upon us our pain and bore our sufferings, Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Again, here's the deal. It's not that we don't live knowing that there is sickness and disease in the world. We know that, okay? Why is there sickness and disease in the world? It's because we live in a broken world. We live with the consequences of the fall. We live with the consequences of generations and generations of all sorts of things which are dysfunctional. Not because that's how God created them, because God created it good, but because in our brokenness, we have seen all sorts of things happening, and they come to us in sickness and in disease and in disaster and cancer and all sorts of things. These things are the reality of our life. But listen, here's the thing that I hate and the thing that I want to nail today, okay? I want to nail, and in case there's any confusion about this, that people sort of say, when they're sick, when they're ill, when something like this happens, oh, it must be God's will for me. No, exactly. No, that is wrong. That is wrong. That is living in the wrong side of the cross thinking. That is actually not understanding what happened on the cross and going through and out into the resurrection. God's perfect will for you is that you would be well. It is. It's God's will. And why? Because what it tells us here is Jesus died for every sickness, disease, and infirmity. He paid the price. He took the punishment, and there is nothing left to pay for. There is nothing, there's no more business to do as far as that's concerned. We do live with the consequences of the broken world, and we do have an enemy who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Yeah. But listen, this is the thing. You know, when we say that God's will, oh, it must be God's will if I'm ill, that's not true. God permits things to happen, his permissive will. He permits things to happen, not because it's his plan, not because it's his desire, not because it's his intent, not because it originated from him, but because we live in a broken world and because we have an enemy that attacks us. And sometimes God permits that to happen. But actually, his desire is this, that we would be well, that we would not be sick in disease and all the rest of it. And what God calls us to do, therefore, is to actually move ourselves across, to leave behind that stuff on the other side of the cross and come to Resurrection Day, where actually our worldview becomes this, that actually our job is to call heaven onto earth. Our job is to call for life and wholeness and freedom and all the other things that are supposed to happen. Yeah? She's much more excited than me. Okay. So if that's what it looks like to live on the wrong side of the cross, on the kind of the at the foot of the cross of Golgotha, and you know, and listen, it's not a bad thing for us to experience that kind of Good Friday moment. It isn't a bad thing for us to come with all of our with all the stuff that's going on and actually kneel at the foot of the cross and actually kind of confess our sins. It's not wrong for us to do these things, but it is wrong for us to stay there. It is wrong for us to dwell there. It is wrong for us to think that our Christian faith, the identity that we get from that place, is actually what we're supposed to do. That's where we've got it wrong. We need to move to the resurrection side of things. And here's the first thing that we do when we do that. We discover that we need to live as children of God. We need to live as children of God. We sang the song. We've read the verse. Here it is again, Romans 8:15. It says this, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption. Your adoption into the family of God, as sons and daughters of the family of God. And so we can call him Abba, Father. We are no longer those who are far from God. We're no longer the enemies of God. We're no longer living in that place of condemnation. We're no longer doing any of those things. You know, we are in that place where if we choose to, we can receive the adoption. God doesn't force it on us. We can choose to receive the gift of his adoption. We can say yes to Jesus. We can say, yes, I want to be your in your family. I want to actually be, I want to receive that gift from you. And what does that do? What does that do? Well, that not only does it give us a family to be part of, not only does it give us a new identity as a child of God, but it gives purpose. That, again, was why William came. Because in the midst of that transaction that happened around his cancer, what happened was God moved him to that place of discovering that actually this was the real deal, and he actually was a son of the living God. And he was asking the question, therefore, God, what am I here to do? Because actually, when you know that you're a child of God, you know that you're here, you're not here by accident. This isn't just a kind of like, you know, you're here for 70 years and then you kind of poof, disappear into a puff of smoke. That's not the deal. The deal is that we're here for an eternity. We're here for this period of time and then into eternity. But the reason for being here is that God has placed us here for a purpose, to bring transformation to people's lives, to bring healing, to bring hope, to bring all of these amazing things. And that's what William wanted to discover. He discovered that he was a child of God, and then he wanted to step into, and therefore this must mean what? And that was the conversation that we had. That's why we talked. That's why we prayed. It gives confidence. When you know who you are, it gives confidence. Because actually, you know, because there's nothing better than being a child of God. You know, you have hit the pinnacle of all accolades that you could ever hit. You know, and nobody can take it away from you. And nobody can defeat you with it. And nobody, you know, no lords and ladies and queens and kings and, you know, politicians and businessmen and millionaires and all the rest of it, they can have all sorts of other things. But if they don't have that accolade that says child of God, they have not hit the top mark. You know, this is the greatest thing that you'll ever have. And as a result of that, you can have confidence, you can have faith, and you can have a reason to live. Here's the next thing I want to sort of say. that actually, not only are we a new child of God, but also that we have, that it's about the time for a new start. Time for a new start. Again, we've touched on that already, but I want to read this. Galatians 2:20 says this: I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. I no longer live. I've been crucified with. I'm actually dead. I went down into the pits of hell with him. I'm gone. The old Alan is gone. I died. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm no longer weighed down by the baggage of the past. I'm no longer defined by what used to happen, what people said about me, how things were, all that kind of stuff. My call is to live now this life, full, free, and empowered by God. It's time to start new. And then here's the last thing I want to sort of say. We are called to call heaven onto earth. Again, this is the passage from Matthew 6. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What are we doing when we pray the Lord's Prayer? We are inviting heaven to break out on earth. We are seeing this new reality that sickness and disease and infirmity actually no longer hold sway over us, but actually God's perfect will is that we would be healed. This new reality actually is to be called down here on earth. So we're releasing healing in Jesus' name. And interestingly, as we talked, you know, it's perhaps not a big surprise, but it was as I talked to William about this, he said, do you think it would be okay if I spent time praying for people for healing? Do you think maybe that might be what God has got for me to do over the next however many years? And I went, yep, you've got it, my friend. I don't think anybody is going to be in any confusion or any doubt about that. He understood that actually this encounter, this whole thing of moving from one side to the other of the Easter encounter, moving from that brokenness of the cross to that glorious new life in the resurrection day, actually is it changes everything. But listen, we have to choose to move. We have to choose to move. We have, and so this is the thing: choose today to live on the resurrection side of the cross. Some of us, maybe today, that means finally deciding that we're going to give ourselves to Jesus. We're committing ourselves once more, once and for all, to say, I want to follow him. And I want to give an opportunity to do that. I'm going to do that in just a minute. We're going to pray. But for others of us, it's actually about letting go of some of that stuff, letting go of the guilt and the shame and the condemnation and the baggage and the old ways of thinking and the, you know, the confusion of who we are and all the other things. You know, that's not living in the resurrection side of Easter, of the cross. The invitation is to move, to reposition ourselves into the place that God would want us to be. And for others of us here today, in particular, you know, we've already prayed for healing. I want to just say that as we, you know, as we do at the end, we'll have time to pray, and we want to make sure that you know, that we get a chance to pray for you to do that as well. So, yeah, choose today to live on the resurrection side of the cross. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. We thank you so much for, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the cross. We thank you that it changes everything. Lord, it's the pivot point. It's the turning point of all of history. It's the moment where things changed for us forever. We're so grateful for that, Lord. We're so thankful for that, Lord. And so we want to pray that today, here in this place, we want to give ourselves to you. And Lord God, I pray just for anyone who is not sure or who needs to say, today I'm committing myself. This is me. I'm absolutely giving myself. I do not want to live anymore as an enemy of God. I don't want to live with the rubbish. I don't want to live with the condemnation. I don't want to live with the baggage anymore. Instead, I choose to lay it down at the foot of the cross, and I choose to take hold of the life that you have given to me, that life that came as you rose from the dead. And so, Lord, I pray. And here's a prayer. Just if this is for you, then let's just pray it together. Father, I confess to you my sins. I confess to you my brokenness. I confess to you my confusion and my uncertainty. And I confess that I need a Savior. Jesus, I choose to accept your offer of life. Father, I choose to receive the spirit of adoption that calls out within me to become a child of God. I choose you. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Cleanse me from my unrighteousness. And allow me to step now into fullness of life. Jesus, I welcome you as my Savior and as my Lord. You are the King of my life from this day forward. And I invite you, Holy Spirit, now to come and to fill me that I may know the power of the resurrection in my life, that I may know what it is to live for you for all eternity. I give my life to you now, and I choose now to live for you, for I ask this in Jesus' name. And if you prayed that prayer, then come and talk to me afterwards, and we can talk more. But for the rest of us, Lord God, I ask that we would move. We would move from that place where we stay in condemnation, where we stay in confusion and uncertainty, and move to the resurrection side of the cross, to live out our life from that new identity as a child of God, to have that new start in life, to call heaven onto earth. That's what we give ourselves to doing. So would you come and would you allow us to do that today? Release a new and fresh anointing of your Spirit upon us to step fully into that now. For we ask it now. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to finish our time together. The band's going to come up and we're going to sing together. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand has made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Let's sing together. Let's stand to sing.
Of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit be with you and all those that you love, now and forevermore. Amen. There will be opportunity for the ministry team. They're going to come pray for you. There's going to be time of coffee and tea fellowship. Please do stay for that as well. Bless you.
Praise will be my cannot contain this love, and praise will be my song. How can I contain, I cannot contain.